Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, with no further ado, let me welcome to the stage your host of the show, Stock Talk with Pedro, Pedro Thomas.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to our special show. Welcome to our second show, Stock Talk with Pedro, podcast show featuring myself, Pedro Thomas, and DJ Innovator on the ones and twos. You should know, before we get started, for every show, we like to go through a disclaimer with you guys. You should know that we are not professional stockbrokers and or investment professionals by trade. We are not advising anyone to follow our footsteps in regards to investments based off of our perspectives on this show. You should conduct your own personal research before getting involved in the world of investing. Therefore, Stock Talk with Pedro podcast show, sponsored by P&T Multimedia Group and Publishing LLC, does not take any responsibility nor accountability for financial and or other profits and losses that you may experience while listening to our show. We would also like to inform you that we only report what's in the news platform, and this is basically good cop, bad cop. So with that, without further ado, I'd like to get started. We got a lovely show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot up on the board tonight. We're going to talk about identifying stable coins, USDC and USDT. We've got a special guest on the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Ronnie McCarthy will be joining us later on in the show. So I hope you guys stick around for that. That's going to be a really dope segment. We got introduction of crypto exchanges, Coinbase, Uphold. We're going to talk about KuCoin. We're going to talk about crypto.com. And we're just going to go over some things and basically, you know, just give some insight in history behind, you know, when they started and, you know, what they're worth and all like that. We're going to identify with Solana, and we're going to see why this token is so important. We're going to identify with Cardano. We're going to identify three stock companies that are directly associated with agriculture and farming regarding the U.S. food supply. And ladies and gentlemen, we all know that the food supply right now is dwindling by the day. And last but not least, we're going to talk about the hottest topics that's happening in the news regarding crypto and stock and ETF investments. So without further ado, I'd like to bring DJ Innovator back on the scene. DJ Innovator, there has been a lot, man, a lot with these stable coins. For one, USDC and USDT. And I just want to break down to our listeners out there, basically, you know, what these stable coins really entail and why they're so important to us.
Awesome. Let's get
okay.
into it.
Yeah, let's get into it, brother. USDC, okay, and this might, and again, I have to give history, so this may sound like a lecture, but it's really not, people. This is really giving you financial literacy into how things are moving towards the future. Because crypto is before its time. It's maybe about 10 years ahead of its time, if that. Okay, the USDC coin, stablecoin, is a fully received stablecoin, which is a type of cryptocurrency or digital asset. Okay, unlike other cryptocurrencies that pretty much fluctuate in price, the USDC coin doesn't fluctuate at all. It's basically designed to maintain the price equivalency to the U.S. dollar. USDC is a stable, is stable, okay? It has a stable step of value, okay, from the speed and security of blockchain technology. So basically, just to give an example to you guys out there that are listening, I have a Coinbase and FTX Blockfolio debit credit card. And basically what I use on those are USDC on Coinbase and USDT on FTX. Now, basically what these are is basically they're equivalent to, as I said, the US dollar. So I spend USDC, I spend it at gas stations, I spent it at the movies, I've spent it at the Boston Park Plaza Hotel in downtown Boston. Fabulous, by the way. I took my wife out there for her 40th birthday last Thanksgiving. But I used all crypto, I used all USDC and USDT. I didn't use cash. I didn't use regular U.S. currency. I used digital currency to pay for all of those goods and services that I just mentioned. And there are plenty of more out there. It would be too long and we only have an hour show. With that being said, USDT, as I stated, which is Tether. Tether's cryptocurrencies belong to a special subset of digital assets called stablecoins, which means their prices are anchored, pegged, okay, and are less, and are considered basically a less volatile asset, okay? USDT has the largest market cap among all stable coins. You know, so again, USDT, which is USDT Tether, has the largest market cap amongst all stable coins. I mean, that's pretty dope. You know, and again, these are used on different crypto platforms such as Coinbase. You've got Kraken. You've got KuCoin. You've got FTX, which used to be also known as Blockfolio. You have Crypto.com, which are actually crypto platforms where you can purchase, sell NFTs. You can do that as well as crypto tokens and coins. But I would just suggest, like, basically not purchasing crypto like on, let's say, for instance, Robinhood, Epic, no. You know, that's an Epic no, because they don't have, and again, I'm not giving financial advice or anything like that. I'm just saying what I do and how I maneuver within space. Okay. With that being said, I would really like to really stress that you have to be careful when you're purchasing your crypto. I would suggest that you go on an exchange. If you really want to see the value of cryptocurrency, because I know, again, you know, it goes up, it goes down. Most people think it's been down more than it's been up, but it actually really hasn't. It's really been up more than it's been down as a whole. You know, a lot of people also don't realize that cryptocurrency has been around since 2012, 2013. You know, a lot of people don't get that premise. They think that, oh, it's 2022. It's September 2022. And, oh, well, crypto just probably started and got launched right before the pandemic. No, that's not true. So with that being said, you know, as I talk about, again, purchasing your crypto, if you're a beginner and you haven't invested and you're trying to invest, you know, I'm just giving you guys really financial literacy in the sense of you don't want to make a mistake and purchase your crypto for the first time on a platform that shares, for instance, stocks and ETF shares. Like, you don't want to be on a platform like that because you don't want to intertwine both types of investments. And again, that's just what my self-taught, me as a self-taught conservative investor since 2017, that's what I've been doing, you know, literally. And that's how I've been playing the field and been winning, basically, for the long haul. I've been winning because I'm a long-term investor. I'm not a short-term investor for those out there that are listening.
All right, let's stop for one second. I want to acknowledge that we have a listener on air, 773 area code. Also, look at your messages. We also have the chat room open if there's anyone that wants to comment or if they have anything they want to say or ask a question. There is a chat room if you're listening online on the online portal. You are free to open and engage with us. Just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware of that. Back to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, DJ Innovator, for that. And thank you to everybody who is joined us on the platform tonight. Like I said, this is our second show after the first launch last week. I think, you know, this is going to be an epic roller coaster ride. So I'm really, really happy, blessed, and thankful and humbled that you guys have joined us on this platform tonight. So I hope that I'm able to, you know, really make some things make sense to those that are out there listening. There's another exchange that I like to talk about, and that's called Uphold. Uphold is actually considered a bank. You know, and I know people are like, wow. I'm like, yeah, Uphold, UPHOLD, is actually considered a bank. Okay? The founder of Uphold, by the way, his name is Halsey Miner, okay? And Uphold is currently located in New York City. Uphold was founded in 2013. And again, people, this is a platform that is considered that most crypto enthusiasts consider 100% or at least majority safe and a very legit platform to comfortably purchase your crypto and any other investments that you may be interested in on that particular platform. But Uphold is a bank, people. And literally you can purchase crypto, digital cryptocurrency. You can purchase digital gold, digital silver, digital bullion and things of that nature. I mean, it's really dope. I really think it's dope the way they have it set up. With that being said, I would like to talk about, and again, you know, I gotta have people really understand where I'm coming from. When we talk about these different things of investing, the different aspects of investing. I know a lot of people may think, oh my God, yeah, you just focus on crypto. I actually don't. I actually focus on stocks, ETFs. I focus on, you know, real estate and, you know, man, I mean, it's profitable. Believe me, people, I've got my hands in everything. With that being said, DJ Innovator, FTX, also known, formerly known as Blockfolio, is a Bahamian cryptocurrency exchange. FTX is incorporated in countries like Antigua, Barbuda, and they're headquartered in the Bahamas. As of February 2022, this exchange has averaged $10 billion of daily trading volume and has over 1 million users to date. I mean, that's pretty dope. FTX, also formerly known as Blockfolio, you got a lot of athletes in the NFL that are associated and in the NBA. Steph Curry is an affiliate of FTX. You've got Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars, quarterback. You've got quarterback Tom Brady for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're all affiliates of Blockfolio. Or I'm sorry, FTX. And if I'm not mistaken, I have to, and don't hold me to this, but I think Marshawn Lynch may have been also an affiliate of FTX as well. I know FTX owns the arena that the Miami Heat NBA basketball team play down in Florida. And, I mean, FTX is hot. I mean, FTX is hot. Owner, you had the owner, Sam Bankman-Fried, who was at one point allegedly worth about $300 billion. I mean, this man, a young man too. I think he was like 27, 28 years old. I think he just turned 30. And he's worth now maybe about $30 billion. I don't, again, you know, we just report the news and things of that nature and things that we hear. Don't hold us to it, but I'm almost certain that he had quoted in a former interview that he lost majority of his billions with that winter storm in crypto that just happened, less than 6 months ago. He stated that he was really affected and that he had to fall back in regards to his investing as far as his portfolio. And I thought that was very interesting. But this company's revenue, I mean, their revenue, and I think these numbers go back to, I think 2021 is when they were reported. But this company's revenue is worth an estimated $1.02 billion. I mean, that's pretty significant. As I stated, CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, CTO is Gary Wang. Their headquarters is in Nassau, Bahamas, and they were founded in May of 2019. DJ Innovator, KuCoin Exchange is another one, man, that is just a powerful exchange. It's a large cryptocurrency exchange that offers the ability to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrencies in addition to basic trading options. The platform offers margins, futures, and peer-to-peer, so like from you to me, trading. You know, we can trade back and forth. You know, and if I'm not mistaken, there is unlimited trading, okay? So it's not like there's a cap. You know, we can only do it maybe five times. No, you can do it. I think it's unlimited. KuCoin is ranked number one in globalization. 20-plus million global users, man. I mean, come on. 20-plus million global users around the world? 1.2 trillion in trading volume. KuCoin. For those that don't know how to spell it, KuCoin. The founders' names are Michael and Eric. what KuCoin, from what they stated, and, you know, when I did some research a couple of months back, I found out that their mission is to facilitate the global free market. Okay. The global free market, man. I mean, like, they really, really have the aspects of wanting to change the way we go about money. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's pretty dope how you got two gentlemen that started to really understand and believe that that the progress of technology would revolutionize the very way that we spend money in the future. I mean, these two guys, I mean, we're really on to something. And I mean, like I said, the trading volume right now is estimated and reported at 1.2 trillion. I mean, that's a lot. And KuCoin is a trading platform where you can only trade, buy and sell, and also leverage your crypto. That's it. There's no stocks. There's no ETF shares on there. There's nothing dealing with the S&P, NASDAQ, or, you know, the Dow Jones. Nothing dealing with them on that platform. It's strictly cryptocurrency. DJ Innovator. Crypto.com is a very large platform. This company exchange, of course, you know, took over the Lakers, what used to be the Staples Center out in LA. Crypto.com hosted, this past year's Super Bowl. I mean, man, it's been something else. You know, they've had Matt Damon as an affiliate, Rick Ross, Manny Pacquiao, you know, have embraced crypto.com. And there are a few others. I think Drake, if I'm not mistaken, Drake, Future, are some of the musicians that have also supported, and as well as Snoop, have supported crypto.com. And so, I think I'd add Dr. Dre to that as well. But, you know, regardless of that, these gentlemen have pretty much solidified that crypto.com is the way of the future. And, you know, they've hosted major sporting events within the NBA, within the college ranks in the NCAA. I mean, their commercials for the Super Bowl were just, especially the one with LeBron, was so dope. But you got a lot of people out here that are like, you know, crypto is a joke. You know, NFTs are a joke. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, it's not a joke. Companies like Solana, companies like Cardano, you know, these are software companies, you know, tech companies, you know, that produce tokens. Again, and NFTs and ways to, so especially Solana. Solana is actually a blockchain, okay, that is decentralized, you know, that's for decentralized finance. Not centralized, but decentralized. And trading is traders demand near instant trade times, okay? The software company supports smart contracts, including NFTs, and a variety of decentralized applications, also known as dApps. Okay. Native to Solana's blockchain is the SOL token, which provides network security through staking, as well as means of transferring value. So basically transferring your crypto from wallet to wallet or person to person. Solana is considered, for those that don't know, Solana is considered as a rival towards Ethereum, because Ethereum is a blockchain as well. Ethereum is one of the, is the main blockchain. Okay. However, Solana at one point was, is considered the fastest blockchain in existence. And I'm going to repeat that again, people. It's been reported that Solana is the fastest blockchain, and it has the fastest blockchain in existence. The coin or and or token Cardano aims to solve problems related to scalability, okay, interoperability, and sustainability on cryptocurrency platforms. The first problem refers to the slowing down of networks and high gas fees. Okay, everybody knows that, who's familiar with the crypto space, that Ethereum has a very expensive gas fees. And that you have to catch the gas fees at a cheaper price in the wee hours of the night, okay, after midnight, because there's so many people trading and trying to get into the space that the miners that are sitting there burning these tokens and coins are just like, wow. You know, they can raise the price up, the gas fees up to, man, it could be thousands and thousands, sometimes millions of dollars to transfer crypto and or NFTs. I mean, those Ethereum gas prices can really get expensive. And again, if you're familiar in this space and you're listening, you know what I'm talking about. As I stated before, Cardano is a digital coin that can be used to store value and or send and receive funds. It's also a blockchain and is similar to Ethereum's blockchain. Cardano is also known for having proof of stake, for having a proof of stake system in which owners of the currency are tasked with validating transactions in exchange for reward, whatever that may be. The staking reward can be an attractive way to earn income, and the best crypto brokers let you participate in staking with little or no cost. I mean, you really can't beat that, DJ Innovator. You really can't beat that, man. You really can't beat that. When you think like, man, there's a coin, and Cardano is, I think their ticker is ADA. Solana is SOL, for those out there that don't know. But literally, you know, these tokens that represent these software companies are actually blockchains. You know, within itself, they're actually, you know, rival to Ethereum, you know, in regards to battling for those energy gas prices in which I was speaking of. But I just want to get your basically, let me get your point of view on that. You know, are you, because you're familiar within the space as well.
Did you defer that to me? I'm sorry.
Yes, I did.
So as far as
I was just asking in regards to because I know you're familiar within the space. I was asking in regards to the gas, those gas fees that Ethereum charges, and Solana and Cardano are blockchains as well, but usually a lot of people are familiar with Ethereum being the main blockchain. What's your aspect as far as Ethereum's high gas fees?
You know, my feeling is I'm kind of on the fence with cryptocurrency, and I guess I'm the bad cop because right now I'm not buying into it. I've had funds sent to me in crypto, and the money that I had sent to me isn't the same amount that I should have. You know, it's taken a huge nosedive, and so I'm kind of on the fence. I'm just, the gas fees are to me high, extremely high, and for me, I understand that cryptocurrency is supposed to be ahead of its time, but it's also behind in the times where, if I want to Cash App you money or Zelle you money, it's there instantaneously. And what I've sent you is what you get. There's no, deduction from that unless you do like an immediate exchange over, the time period. But if you just wait it out, you still get the same amount of money. There's no deduction. So, I still remains to be sold on me. But I do want to let you know that I believe your co-host, your special guest, is in queue. So whenever you want to bring him on, we can bring him on. He's been in queue for about 19 minutes. So just want to put that out to you.
All right. And without further ado, thank you very much, DJ Innovator, for that. Without further ado, I would like to get to our special guest that we have on the show this evening. This gentleman who I met through social media, heavy within the crypto space, and actually was referred to him by another one of my, another gentleman who I look up to in the crypto, within the crypto space as well. But he was given to me, information was given to me as a referral. And boy, did we hit it off. And I've been keeping in contact with him ever since, periodically from time to time, mostly through social media. But since DJ Innovator, we launched the show, I just wanted to take the opportunity to definitely have this brother on the platform with us. But again, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Ronnie McCarthy.
What's up, man? How you doing? Uh-oh, got a lot of snow. Can you hear me?
Yes, you will. We can hear you. We can hear you, Coach.
All right. If I start coughing, I'm a day out of the hospital, so hopefully I won't cough through your show. But if I do, excuse me.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Send our prayers to you, and glad that you are out of the hospital, by the way.
I appreciate it. Hey, if I can comment, because your last, few statements was really important, where DJ, what is his name again?
DJ Innovator.
Say it again.
DJ Innovator.
Okay, DJ Innovator, right. Not sold on crypto. Again, he compared it to Zelle and things like that. So, mm-hmm. can I talk about that for a moment?
Oh, sure, most definitely. What's that? The floor.
Okay. So,
for you, brother.
Okay. So one thing with Zelle, Cash App, all of them, there's a limited amount of money you can send. Right, you can't send $20,000 through neither one of them, or $30,000, or even $3,000. So one thing, you limit it, you censor it by what you can send by the banks that money go through. They can block your transactions anytime they want to. So there's limitations to sending money through those platforms. Now, crypto haven't got mass adoption yet, but even without mass adoption, there's no limitations to the amount of money you can send. So if I wanted to send you $1 million, I can send you $1 million. Now, if I send it in a coin like XRP, XLM, or even Tron or something like that, but let's just say with XRP, you will have that within 4 to 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like $1 million. So, but it's the mass adoption part. Now, what people don't get about cryptocurrency is the word. The name is what throws people off. Sure, a better name would probably be digital assets. Reason being that most cryptocurrencies are not currencies in the way we would think of it. And so most what you're looking for when you're investing in cryptocurrencies are cryptocurrencies that solve a problem, that has institutional adoption, and that has a team that is constantly innovating that can pull that off. So I don't want to name no coins because, you know, I'm not trying to promote anything, but for instance, there's a coin that solves the problem of tracking and authentication. Mm-hmm. So with this coin, what they do, since it's on the blockchain, of course, it's immutable. You can't delete anything. You can't edit it or, you know, change it in any type of way. So their RFID chip is being manufactured into food packaging, medical equipment, prescription drugs, refrigeration trucks, and so forth. They already have adoption by Walmart China, BMW, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Big Lot Justice Company, DNGVL, and multiple wine and food manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
So most consumers would never hear of this coin. Only people who trade, invest, developers, and institutions would ever know that coin even exists. But for consumers, what they're going to have is one day you're going to have a cool app on your phone, and you're going to go in a store and be able to scan your meat and know where that meat came from, what the temperature of it was when it was on the refrigeration truck, how long it took to arrive to that store, and if they left it sitting on the floor of the refrigerator once it got there. So that's a cryptocurrency that is that has a utility, that's solving a problem in the world and is already receiving institutional adoption. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a coin that is solving a problem of cross-border remittance.
If I'm I'm sorry to cut you off, DJ. Coach, I would just want to say, I just wanted to clarify that coin or token and or crypto that you spoke of, or just was speaking of, you're talking about VeChain, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know if I should be mentioning names on your show.
I mean, I wasn't trying to promote
any coins. That's why I didn't say the name.
No, I mean, well, actually, all we're doing is basically just giving financial literacy off what we have already invested in. You know, thanks to you, I'd already invested in VeChain. So, you know, and I'm also
and I'm also
a BMW owner. So I knew from you, okay, VeChain, also known as
right.
VET. And again, this is public knowledge. You know, a lot of this is public information. There's nothing about any infringement or anything like that on my show. With that being said, you can continue. Because, I mean, again, this is all financial literacy. For those
okay.
new to the space, our beginners and our intermediate, you know, you have your intermediate level investors that kind of know what they're doing and, you know, well, do know what they're doing, but there's always someone that knows better. And so that's why
right.
I call you on, Coach, so that you can really break down the science of it all. So go ahead and continue.
Okay. So let me just say, like, most cryptocurrencies, probably 95% or more, is going to disappear at some point. It's only the ones that are solving problems. So if you're investing in crypto, if you're investing in, like, a Doge or Shiba Inu or something, those are considered basically, for the most part, pump and dump coins. You
right.
know, Doge only goes up in value because Elon Musk tweet about it. And so that's not a sound investment. That's gambling.
Correct.
So you're looking for a coin that actually solves a problem in the world, that is receiving institutional adoption, that there are companies that is using this technology in order to improve their supply chain, their, you know, just the overall performance of the company, you know, whatever it might be, and that it's working. So with XRP, you know, they're working with 46 central banks. There's already multiple payment providers and banks throughout Asia that is already using their technology. So, again, this is a coin that is solving a problem and already have institutional adoption. And so when you invest in the crypto, that's primarily what you're looking for. Ethereum, let me just say this first. So to really understand crypto, like if you're investing in stock, you're actually buying equity into a company, right?
Correct.
So what if you bought Microsoft stock? So now you got equity in Microsoft. But what if Microsoft was selling shares to their technologies? So their technologies would be Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and so forth, right?
Right.
And so what if you was able to buy stock in just Microsoft Word, and then the value of it went up by adoption? So that's what cryptocurrency is. You're not investing in a company. You're investing in a technology. And if that
Correct.
Technology get mass adoption, the value of it goes up. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin right now still hold market dominance because mass adoption of any of the technologies that's out there haven't been achieved yet. But eventually those coins are going to start decoupling from Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is not going to control the price, you know, of the market. But that's mm-hmm. what's happening right now. Now with Ethereum, Ethereum is like if you looked at when, you just used to have the DOS operating system. And then what they did was build an interface on top of it, Windows. And then Windows allow you, instead of typing in C:\, blah, 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 now you just push a button. And so that's what like Ethereum is to the blockchain. It's just a program that allows you to build dApps on it, right? And so that's all it is. Now, the problem with Ethereum is that those gas fees are going to be high for the next 6 years or more, even with the integration and the upgrades, because the 2.0 upgrade actually takes about 6 years.
Right.
Even when they move to proof of stake, their fees are still going to be very high.
Yeah.
But also, what problem is it solving in the real world? And it's really not solving any problem. Because Ethereum basically making it easier, you know, or Cardano or Tron or Solana, all these different blockchains are just making it easier for cryptocurrency companies to operate within that space better. But what is it doing outside of that space? And so that's what's going to be the problem in the future, you know, unless that changes.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's really a lot to look at with that. But I would just, you know, recommend that people, you know, do their due diligence, try to find a coin that actually is solving the problem and that, you know, it is getting adoption already because most coins now is already getting adoption because they've been around for a while. And the one correction that you said earlier with 2013 with introduction to crypto, was actually Bitcoin. The first Bitcoin was in 2009. So the Bitcoin blockchain was 2008, and then the first Bitcoin was minted on that blockchain in 2009.
No, but thank you, Coach, for that information, but I was referencing those particular companies. I was particularly in those particular crypto companies like Cardano, Solana. You know, I was just basically reporting what they have.
I see what you're saying, right. And so Solana is actually a newer company as far as, Cardano been around and, you know, they still haven't really got rolling yet.
No, they haven't. And, word on the street is, word in those investing streets are that ADA will be cooking in the next, you know, in the coming future.
Yeah, and unfortunately in crypto, there's always word on the streets, and I just say wait and see. Also, and then the other thing, too, like the brother said, someone gifted some crypto, and, you know, and the price, you know, is not the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing to look at is when you invested in when Amazon Books, right, it was Amazon Books, and people, early investors invested, not because of the price, but because of the fundamentals of what Amazon was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was at a time when Amazon stock, dropped around about 90%, 94%?
Yeah.
And you had a lot of people cut their losses, sold their stock. But the ones who understood the fundamentals of what Amazon was doing stayed. They didn't sell. No matter, even if it, when it dropped over 90%, they held on to their stock. And then later on, Amazon Books became Amazon, and all those people became rich. So when you invest in, you're not looking at price. You're looking at fundamentals. And so if what you was gifted was some good crypto, you know, you look at the fundamentals of what that company is doing. You don't care about the price. You know, you're looking at the price of it maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Because if the fundamentals are still the same, then you're just waiting on the mass adoption of that technology in order for the true price, the true value of that crypto to be realized.
Okay. And then, you know what? And that makes sense, Coach. That really makes sense for what you're saying. I know that XRP, which is represented by Ripple Inc. Incorporated, I know that they were going up against the SEC for a while.
Well, they still are. So the lawsuit is still going.
Right.
Ripple is definitely going to win that lawsuit. You know, so I've been keeping up with that. And, mm-hmm. you know, because what the SEC tried to say was they were selling unregistered securities. And so there's a lot of simple arguments against that, but we expecting that lawsuit will probably be wrapped up either toward the end of this year or the beginning of the next year, the first quarter of 2023. But, you know, without going into any details, Ripple is way ahead in this lawsuit. They've been, you know, and I think once that this lawsuit is over, Ripple is probably going to do a PPO and IPO. And because they always said they're here, they said they won't be the first and they won't be the last.
Right.
But they're going to be a big company because, you know, XRP is the digital asset that anyone can use. And Ripple happened to be the company that, you know, owns the most of it and is using it for, you know, what they're trying to achieve, which is, for the most part, cross-border emittance on the enterprise level.
Right.
So you're talking about taking over a market that's been dominated by SWIFT since 1974, that doing transfers of $5 to $6 trillion a day. So as Ripple starts to take more and more shares of that market, eventually you're going to see the value of their coin skyrocket, because you cannot provide liquidity for a market with a 32-cent coin. You know what I mean? So,
right. So
it's speculated that eventually that coin is going to be anywhere between $500 to $1,000 a coin.
Very, very enlightening information. And see, again, you know, the powers that be don't understand the space and the fact that it's just another form of investing. But it's really, like, really high maintenance. It's really high maintenance. Because, again, if you're not willing to lose, you know, the shirt off your back, then, you know, it's just, you know, don't do it. You know, don't do it. If you're not, you know, I've always said, if people don't feel comfortable in investing, don't invest. However, everything is a risk.
Right.
But everything's a risk, you know. But with that being said.
Right, going to college is a risk.
that's
a big risk. You spend 4 years of your life, $100,000 in debt, and then you get a job at the post office, something totally different than what you went to school for.
Exactly, Coach. Well, Coach, I want to thank you, myself and DJ Innovator, want to thank you for coming on to the show tonight. We will definitely have you on the platform again. I just want to say I am elated that you are out of the hospital and are safely home and in your comfortable surroundings. Hospitals are no joke, but I'm glad that you are on the road to recovery. I also want to, you know, state that, and I forgot to mention this, that you are a retired multiple businessman entrepreneur, and that you may be at some point, if I'm not mistaken, Coach, might be coming out of retirement at some point in the future, or have you changed your mind?
Well, I was planning on starting another business before COVID hit.
Yeah, and so that going to be an arcade? Yeah. Is that going to be an arcade business?
Yeah, virtual reality arcade.
Yeah.
I say cafe, virtual reality cafe.
Got you. And we really appreciate you coming on to the show, and you know, you're a blessing, brother. Thank you. We're extremely humbled to have you drop jewels on us tonight.
All right, man. I'm glad, you know, you invited me and that I was, you know, able to share something. Hopefully someone found some value in it.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you very much. And we are going to sound off right now with the brother Ronnie McCarthy. Ronnie, thank you so much again. Let's give him a round of applause, everybody.
I didn't hear none. All right, man.
All right, man.
Hey, brother, I'll take it easy. Peace, DJ Innovator.
You as well, brother. For more information regarding crypto and stock market investing, please don't hesitate to purchase My Haunted Tales of Crypto, Volume 1, available for purchase on the following platforms: BarnesandNoble.com, Nook.com, Amazon.com, and the ebook can be purchased on the CryptoGeekLLC.com. Well, now that you've heard our very first episode of Stock Talk with Pedro, want to begin on something coming real soon. It's the world relaunch of World Net Radio, hosted by me, DJ Innovator. What you'll be getting is some of the best music from around the world from independent artists, a lot of contests, and a lot of giveaways. It'll be launching real soon here on the network. Stay tuned. All right, so we're back. Turning the show back over to you, Pedro. Give us some closure to the show. Give us some something to head out the show with.
All right, brother. Thank you very much for that pass off, for the handoff. I appreciate it. Man, it's football season again. Whew, does something to you. Well, with that being said, I'd like to quickly go over three stock companies in the S&P Dow and the in the regular stock market that are directly associated with agriculture and farming regarding our U.S. food supply shortage. Remember, people, I mentioned this earlier. I just want to let you know, AppHarvest, AppHarvest, is right now at $2.86 per share. The ticker is APPH. This company engages in the development of indoor farms. It combines conventional agricultural techniques with technology and is addressing key issues, including improving access for all nutritious foods, farming more sustainable, building a homegrown food supply, and increasing investment in Appalachia, or some people may consider it Appalachia. This company was founded on March 5th, 2020, and is currently headquartered in Moorhead, Kentucky. This company's current value is at $296.49 million. Corteva Incorporated, CORTEVA, ticker CTVA, right now is coming in at $62.02 per share. This company is considered a global provider of seed and crop protection solutions focused on agriculture, on the agriculture industry, and contributing to the food supply. The firm operates through the following segments: seed and crop protection. Now, let me explain both of those. The seed segment is engaged in the developing and supplying of advanced germplasm, okay, and traits that provide yield for farms. So I'm going to repeat that again. The seed segment portion of the company Corteva Incorporated is engaged in the developing and supplying of advanced germplasm and traits that provide yield for farms. This company was founded in 1802 and is currently headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana. The crop protection segment of this company is involved in offering the global agricultural input industry with products that protect against weeds, insects, other pests, and diseases that improve overall crop health for both above and below ground via nitrogen management and seed applied technologies. Okay? Comstock Resources is coming in at $18.80 per share. Ticker is CRK. This company engages in the acquisition, development, and exploration of oil and natural gas. This company's operations is concentrated in eastern Texas.
All right. So that does it. That wraps up our second episode. We're going to close it out.
Hey, thanks for listening to Stock Talk with Pedro. This is DJ Innovator, the executive producer, and I just wanted to say thanks for listening to the podcast. We've got a whole lot more coming your way, so stay tuned.